Hey, brave one. Welcome to another episode of the Aware and Prepared podcast. I'm your host, Mandy Pratt, a trained domestic violence victim advocate, self-defense teacher, and professional speaker who helps those feeling vulnerable learn emotional self-defense and how to be street smart. You deserve to live in peace and safety. Stick around to hear safety tips that will help us enjoy empowered lives. Let's leave worry behind so we can be savvy, aware, and prepared. Hey, welcome back to the Aware and Prepared podcast. So today I am continuing on about the story of Micah Miller and her abuser, who happened to be a pastor and a narcissist. So I'm going to split this up into two different parts. The first part is going to be an update about what Micah Miller's family has shared on what does not add up in the case. And also the second part will be sharing more about what makes up somebody like John Paul Miller, also called JP, and how do they get away with stuff like that. I touched on it last week, but this delves more into their behaviors and how this is a pattern seen in not just him and his dad, but other people out there, if you look through the news and different stories. So, all right, let's start with the first part. So, as you'll remember from last week, sadly, Micah Miller, it was stated that she took her own life on April 27th, 2024, but a lot of people just really don't believe that. It just doesn't add up. There's so many weird things in her case. So, I'm going to share now a few things that her father and her sister shared, things that are bothering them that do not add up. So supposedly the FBI is on the case now, but her family has not spoken directly to the FBI. So many news stations are sharing that the FBI is on the case, but again, the family has not spoken to them. They just heard that the Robeson County Sheriff's Office of where Micah Miller died has requested their assistance. All right, so I'm going to share some of these points here. So Micah's dad goes on to share, and I'll put in the show notes a link to the video where he and his daughter, Micah's sister, are talking about the things that don't add up. So she was found in a park. And he said that she was found in the water 40 meters, supposedly, from where this happened, which is strange because there was no flow in the water. And he said it just doesn't make sense. It seemed like somebody moved her and then threw the gun in the water. As you remember from my first episode, it's stated that Micah herself said, "If I am ever found with a gunshot wound to my head, it was definitely JP." She said that multiple times. So that plays into it as well. The family also stated that JP, quote, "he's a faker. He would go in front of the church and, you know, fake all these different things." They knew the truth because Micah would tell them. And the family has since then filed a legal claim to remain over her estate so far. They're still trying to figure out other things they can do. They stated, her sister stated, that Micah Miller never had a mental illness until she met JP. So we see, I mean, I'm sure some of you listening have been victims of narcissistic abusers. And for that, I am sorry. You all know that your mind is completely sound and fine before you meet them, and then afterwards you end up with panic attacks and such. That was my situation until after I got free. So now I don't have any panic attacks. Interesting how that happens, right? So anyway, her family said she was starting to become herself again with them, happy-go-lucky self again, and JP didn't like that. Another thing that they noted was that, yes, he did groom her since she was about 14 or 15. So he made her his babysitter. He was married at the time with kids. And then made her a lunch buddy. And then made her his secretary there at the church. Even had her marry his best friend, Jeremy. And he manipulated that whole circumstance. Another thing that dad said was, you know, supposedly J.P. Miller was somewhere else at the time of her death. And he was seen in a truck, you know, and driving out to a sports event, so on and so forth. But the dad was saying, was it him in the truck? The windows have been tinted, you know, it's hard to see in there. Could have been anybody. And in the meantime, by the way, I read that he now has bought a different truck. So people are wondering if there was any kind of evidence in that truck. Her family was also saying there was no reason for her to go to that park that she went to. She's never been there before. It was off the trail where nobody knew about. JP had been known to be tracking her car. They were asking the police, did you check her car to see if there was a tracker on it? Of course, it could have been removed, you know, right after that happened, but they didn't even check that. There were a lot of things that they didn't check. And if you've read the news, you'll know that JP wanted her body cremated ASAP. And the family, you know, were able to get in there and say, stop, stop, we want to see her. And he made them sign a statement that said if they were allowed to go in and see her, that they would be okay with her being cremated. So, I mean, that to me just proves, you know, part of guilt there. Micah's dad also said that he spoke to a park ranger at that park, and the park ranger showed him, you know, where that had happened. There was an actual bullet hole in the tree right there. There was a live round next to her, supposedly where she was. There were multiple shellings. Also, back to the family being able to see her. They said that they could see bruises on her hands, scratches on her hands. And Micah's mother was saying that it looked like where those bruises and scratches were, that somebody had grabbed her hand and raised her hand. That's where it would be, in that direction of the bruises and the scratches. So they were thinking maybe somebody, either JP or somebody he paid, because he did pay people to follow her, it's been proven, for other harassment before she passed. Anyway, the mother was saying that the bruises and scratches and such, if you raise your hand, you know, and you're trying not to and it's a fight, that's what looks evident. That would be kind of make sense. They were very disturbed by that, and they had asked the police. The police had no answer for that. And her dad was also saying that the 911 call, where she called supposedly to the police and asked them if they could see her location because she wants the family to be able to find her body. They all said it doesn't sound like her at all. It's very metered. It's very slow speech. And people are wondering if it was AI. Come to find out, JP's lawyer is like a pro at AI. There's an article on that too, so I will share that. So, you know, those are just a few things of all the many things that don't add up. Micah's really good friend, her name is Kyler Marlowe. I'm going to drop her Facebook into the show notes because she actually hired a private detective and they are working on their own to try to find out answers. That's the kind of friend I would like, right? That friend will go to the very depths of the end and figure it out for you. So good on her. I'm going to share that link. All right. So a lot of people have been asking, who is this J.P. Miller? Who is this guy? And how does he get away with that stuff, right? So one of the first things I was wondering is, even before her death, like, what about all the harassment? You know, he was putting razor blades in her tire, and her tire would pop. She'd have to go get the tire fixed, get a new tire. And one of the time that she brought it in, the technicians there found a tracker on her car. And it was just multiple times of harassment. He posted an inappropriate photo of her on the internet and then apologized. So he admitted it. Here where I live, that's a freaking crime. All of those things are a crime, and you do get charged with that. And, you know, they had video of him. The police was standing there and saw him drive up when he was harassing her and she had told him to leave, so on and so forth. It just goes on and on and on. And in some states, unfortunately, they don't have the laws like we have in my state. And by the way, after this came out in the news, there were many, many people that came forward and said that JP had sexually assaulted them as well. A lot of them were girls under the age, under 18, like 15-year-old, 16-year-old, and so on and so forth. And many others that came forward and said, yeah, we left that church. We could tell he was, you know, not well. So lots and lots and lots of proof of this person being very disturbed. And also, I wanted to note before I forgot that the Robeson County Sheriff Department out there, if you look up Operation Tarnish Bad, you'll see that they do not have a good reputation for being on the up and up. Granted, that was a while ago. I don't know if they totally cleared house or if the same people are still there, but there's a lot of corruption that goes back in that department. Main point, again, whether she pulled that trigger or not, he's responsible for a lot of crimes that he really should be doing time for. I saw a petition going around to try to get those laws in that state. South Carolina was where they lived. North Carolina was where the death occurred. I believe that all states should make all of those things a crime. It's a basic human right to peace and safety. Thank you. I was going to also talk about one last thing, and this is a perfect time to bring that in. And that was, hey, do we have a right to self-defense? So poor Micah was showing the police all these things. She was documented. She was doing a great job, right? I've shared so many times when you're trying to defend yourself, you want to make sure that you document everything. She was doing that. But unfortunately, the police were not helping her. They didn't have those laws there. So it makes it, you know, kind of difficult to prosecute. So that's the time when we need to realize, hey, you know what? Like I said, peace and safety are a basic human right. Why do they make pepper spray? Why do they make taser gun, you know, right? Why do they make all those things? It's so we can protect ourselves, right? And each state will have different laws about that. The state that I live in has a specific law about how much pepper spray you can carry, or, you know, if you're gonna be legal to carry a gun, you have to have a CCW, concealed carry weapons permit for that. There's so many different things you can do to protect yourself. And I know that Micah's family did state that she wanted to get a gun to protect herself because she was, quote, afraid for her life. Yes, you know, the police can't be there the very moment that you need them. So we have a right to protect ourselves within the law, right? So we follow our state's law and we protect ourselves. Am I victim shaming Micah for not doing that? No, because she did try to do that, right? She documented. So she was, you know, on the road to recovery, starting her new life, right? Getting out of this insanity loop with him. So I applaud her for all that she did. And I know that the truth is going to come out. Yeah, it always does. And that leads me nicely into the last half of this podcast, which is JP. What kind of person is this, right? So this is a narcissist abuser. What does that mean, right? A narcissist displays a pattern of grandiosity. They need excessive admiration and they lack empathy. I'm going to talk about JP's behavior and how this is a pattern. So I'm not going to be sharing fancy terms, right? We've all heard the fancy terms, but this is easy to understand. This is a practical breakdown of behaviors that pattern people like this. So there are other stories in the news about people similar to JP. It's interesting how JP was a pastor himself, but his dad was a pastor too, right? So I see this with other pastors and sons of pastors that are narcissists. Granted, most pastors are great, right? We're just talking about these types. I'm just going to go through a list of behaviors that I have noticed. I just have to say that the person who was abusive to me was also a son of a pastor, and that person's dad was also a son of a pastor, and it just went on and on and on. These types of people usually grow up abused by their father. They are made to feel immense shame, and they can't stand shame so much now that they deflect it. And this is looping it back around to their dad, right? So their dad has also experienced immense shame, and the dad then projects onto the son, right? The mother usually knows it's not right, but feels bad, so they tend to enable, right? So there's no consequences from her. So she'll see this behavior start coming through in the son and realize, oh, this is bad. This should probably be dealt with. But, you know, I feel bad because this is happening and I'm just going to, you know, pray for him instead. This produces entitlement because this person is kind of kept under the mother's wing and there's no consequences from her. So this produces entitlement. This type of person is also usually emotionally immature. They haven't been allowed to feel their feelings, right? So their abuser will probably lash out at them if they show their emotions, especially anger. So they don't know how to work through them, and they're just told to leave, get out of there, go to your room, whatever, right? They can't process through those emotions. These types of people are controlled for so long, right, by their father abuser. Well, now they need to control others, right? There's always that power control struggle. They might even end up with a personality disorder. They usually have a secret porn addiction. So there's the major shame again. And it just cycles through, it loops through. The shame, the deflecting, the shame, and more deflecting. They usually see themselves as a victim. And anything that comes out about anything, you know, quote, bad that they do, everybody is lying about them. Even if proof is out, like JP, there's plenty of truth out there. He would say it's lies. This other son of a pastor, I know somebody else, you know, who was allowed to return to ministry despite alleged sexual misconduct, sexual assault, right? So they might say, oh, I made a mistake, if they take any responsibility, which is usually unlikely. They might say, you know, yes, I made a mistake. And then they like to position themselves as a martyr. Again, that's just image management. So if they can't get worship, then sympathy is the next best thing. They don't live in reality. They lose their temper when their image management is threatened, right? Somebody's out to, quote, ruin him. They might even use suicide as a manipulation to their victims to get them to return. We saw that with Micah. We saw that with this other son of a pastor in the news. So now, ending with, I want to just bring up the topic of epigenetic. So what the heck is epigenetics, right? Epigenetic, in a simplified form, is the study of how genes may be affected by the experiences people have, which can then be passed down to future generations. Remember what I said about, you know, I've seen with my own eyes, and here we see with the JP Miller story that this is generation upon generation upon generation. More stuff's coming out now about J.P. Miller's dad and the crazy stuff he did in Pakistan. There's a recent video about that. I'll try to remember to put that in the show notes as well. But there's multiple studies out that explore how trauma in the past has imprinted and followed through the different generations that follow. I'm going to share with you a link about this example from Scientific American. There was a study done on mice. They took the mice and they had them smell the smell of cherries. And he had the mice smell that, and then he would give them small electric shocks to the mice, and they would shudder with that shock, of course. And by the way, I hate this story because I'm an animal lover, and sorry to those of you who are too, but then they went on to have offspring, and these offspring never had this done to them. But when they were introduced to that same smell, they would shudder also in its presence. So they had been conditioned to be startled by this smell, even though they hadn't had that like training. And then even the third generation of mice, the grandchildren, you might say, also inherited this reaction. So it showed that, and actually similar experiments as well, showed that the response can also be transmitted, you know, down from generation to generation. So the study of epigenetics is kind of an up-and-coming thing, and they're discovering more and more and more. The researchers now are trying to determine for how many generations the sensitivity to that cherry smell with the mice lasts, and whether the response can be eliminated. In another article too, it's saying an individual's environment and behaviors, including nutrition, exposure to chemicals, adversity, stress can affect gene expression. This expression of genes affects development and disease and can make one more susceptible to mental illness that's been passed down. It says psychotherapy also plays a role in gene expression, so it may be part of the treatment plan. This is what I found really interesting. This one from Very Well Mind says that given that epigenetic changes do not change the underlying DNA sequence, Thompson notes that some of the changes may be reversible. Quote, stopping the negative behavior or removing one from a negative environment can reverse the effect. Early intervention can improve outcomes, she says. So this to me would point out that if you are in an abusive environment with an abuser, and especially if you have kids, even not, it's important to get yourself out of that negative situation, right? We don't want to send off those neural imprints that we get onto the next generation, right? Just like the mice. Remember how they would smell the cherry smell and it would make them shudder, right? So we want to encourage healthy environments, healthy families, and continue on generations of mental health and safety and peace. So I'm going to leave you with that. Thanks for being a fan of the Aware and Prepared podcast. Show it some love by leaving a review. And don't forget to hit follow so you can catch future episodes. To book me to speak and transform your audience, go to my website, awareandprepared.life, L-I-F-E. To join my VIPs who get each episode's lessons learned, resource links, and more sent directly to you, sign up is also at my website, where you'll find a free gift when you do. The link is in the show notes. I'll talk with you next week. Remember, you are worthy of a safe and peaceful life.